Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
Brothers and sisters, God wants to hear from you. Day and began to worship God, transformation happens in your and my life. Let's give God a hand. Amen, amen, and amen.
Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. You may be seated in the presence of God. It is a blessing to see everyone on this morning. Certainly we want to celebrate, thank God for our praise team. Let's give it up for the praise team. Amen, to help us enter into the presence of God. Brothers and sisters, we are in a series called Ambition. We started it on last week talking about embracing our ambition. We're looking at Nehemiah and how Nehemiah had an enlarged vision, and he dared to embrace the ambition to do godly things. And so I want to encourage us throughout the year 2016 to dare to embrace your godly ambition to do something great and mighty for God. Amen. If you have your Bibles, your book of instructions, before leaving earth, I invite your attention to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter number 2. Nehemiah chapter number 2. On last week, we left off on verse number 9. I want to pick up on verse number 10. Nehemiah chapter number 2. Beginning with verse number 10. When you have me, invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's word. Nehemiah chapter number 2. If you have an iPhone, an iPad, something of that nature, there's a Bible app. We invite you to definitely install that and make it a lot easier for you. When you have it, say amen. Trust again, when you have it, say amen. Amen. If you're still looking, say hold up. All right, it's on the screen there for us as well. I'm reading from the New International Version, Nehemiah chapter number 2. I am not sure what's going on with my mic here. Nehemiah chapter number 2. Beginning at verse number 10. Here's what it says. When Sanballat the Hornet and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. And then a new section begins. It says, I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few others. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me, mounts meaning horses, except the one I was riding on. By night, I went out through the valley gate toward the Jekyll Well and the Dung Gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on toward the Fountain Gate and the King's Pool. There was not enough room for my mount to get through, so I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as of yet, I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or the nobles or officials of any others who would be doing the work. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. They replied, "Let us start rebuilding." So they began this work. But then Sanballat the Hornet, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it. They mocked and ridiculed us. "What is this you are doing?" they asked. "Are you rebelling against the king?" I answer them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will rebuild. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. Will you do me a favor before taking your seat? Look at your neighbor, put a smile on your face and say, neighbor, good morning. Good to see you. Glad to be in church. This morning's sermon is, I meant to do it. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. Put a smile on your face. Neighbor, good morning. Glad to see you. Glad you're in church. This morning's sermon is, I want you to mean this now. Look at him seriously and say, I meant to do it. Yeah, I meant to do it. I meant to do it. Amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Amen, amen, amen. I meant to do it. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me. Spirit divine, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I meant to do it. Brothers and sisters, listen to this. Real success is the result of intentional efforts. Real success is the result of intentional efforts. You've got to mean to do it. There's a man by the name of Anthony Burgess. He was 40 years old when he heard that he only had 1 year to live. He had a brain tumor that would kill him within a year. He knew that he had a battle on his hands. He was completely broke at the time, and he didn't have any idea what he was going to do. The problem he had was he had a wife and a child, and he wanted to make sure they were well taken care of when he passed. He had never been a writer, a professional novelist in the past, but he knew he had the potential within him to write a book. So he set out, began writing. It was January of 1960, he said, and according to the prognosis, he had a winter and a spring and a summer to live, and after that, he would die. At that time, he wrote energetically. He finished 5.5 novels before the end of the year. Burgess did not die. His cancer had gone into remission and then disappeared altogether. In his life, he had wrote actually more than 70 books. But without the death sentence, he would have never been motivated to start writing at all. Many of us are just like Burgess, hiding greatness on the inside of us, waiting for external energy to bring it out of us, waiting for something to push us to begin to do it. What is it that causes us to sit back on the ambition that God has placed in us? He had always lived with the dream of writing, but he did not take action. He did not see it through until he was challenged to do so. Real success is the result of intentional efforts. How many times have you found yourself thinking about what you could do, but still don't take action? How many times have you come to January of a new year and you talk about all that you want to do, but you still don't take action? I hear you say, Pastor, I've tried to take some action before, but I have failed. Pastor, I've tried to go after my godly ambition before, but it didn't work. Pastor, I've tried this before, but it's not working out for me. My brothers and my sisters, I'm glad you raised some of those oppositions. I believe Nehemiah helps us here in the text. Here we see Nehemiah in chapter number 2, and we picked up last week when we talked about him receiving a godly vision. And once he received his godly vision to restore the walls that had been broken down by Nebuchadnezzar, he went outside of his comfort zone and dared to go before the king to ask to go in to rebuild the wall. Now, here it is, Nehemiah has journeyed to where the walls have been torn down. The text says when he got there, he rested for about 3 days. Then Nehemiah does something that helps us. You see, Nehemiah began with the vision to do something, but he had to be strategic and intentional to make it successful. Let me show you. First of all, brothers and sisters, in Nehemiah, we see that if you're going to achieve something, if you're going to make it happen, it's going to take intentional planning. Intentional planning. The text says that he went out at night with a small group of people and he didn't say to them exactly what God had put on his heart to do. Check this out. Why do we have to tell everybody what we're up to? Why do we have to let everybody know exactly what it is God is trying to do? Man, yeah, I'm about to build me a house this year. Girl, I'm about to get this car. I'm about to start. Oh, let me tell you, baby, this year I'm going to do it. We got to tell everybody. And sometimes we just talk too much. Sometimes we need to learn to shut up. My mama said that's not a good word. Sometimes we just need to learn to be quiet. Got to learn not to tell everybody what we are up to. When I was in the military, they used to have these flyers, these posters all over the wall that would say something like this. Talking lips sinks ships. Moving lips sinks ships. Sometimes when you begin to tell people the dream that you have, the vision that you have, you will find yourself surrounded by vision killers and dreams killers. As a matter of fact, the Bible gives us an example about it. Joseph would tell us, when I had a dream, I began running my mouth too much and my brothers began to hate on me for the ambition that I had, so much so that they wanted to kill me. Sometimes we just gotta shut up. Nehemiah understood that he was going to be successful. He had to keep some things to himself. Not only that, he had to survey the situation. The text says that he went out to examine the wall. He looked at the valley gate, the jackal gate, the dung gate. He looked at the fountain gate and the king's pool. He surveyed the land. But watch this. The text says that when he got to the fountain gate, the king's pool, he had a problem. There wasn't enough room for him to ride his horse through the gate. So what he had to do then was climb off of his horse in order to get a full view of the situation. He had to get close to the mess so that he could properly understand how to plan for the situation. Brothers and sisters, so many times we've got good goals, we've got good ambition, but we don't want to do the proper planning. Sometimes we've got to be willing to climb off of our horse. We've got to be willing to get past our comforts and convenience and begin to survey the mess so we know exactly how to fix it. If you want your marriage to be fixed, if you want your family to be fixed, if you want your children to be fixed, sometimes we've got to be willing to go close to where the ruins are, close to where the hurt is, to know exactly what needs to be repaired. We've got to survey the situation. You've got a good idea and you just run out without surveying the land. I heard of a preacher told a story that he wanted to build a new church. So he went out and he bought this land, presented to the church. Everybody got really excited about it. They wanted to build. They began to do their building campaign and got enough money to build. And then when he was trying to go get the permits, he found out that he's not able to build a church on land because the land had been set aside in essence as a reserve. Glad you bought it, but you can't do this because you can't build on this land. The problem was he had a good idea, spent a whole lot of money, but he could not work it out because he did not do proper planning. My brothers and my sisters, you may have great ambitions, and I want you to don't skip the planning phase. We've got to be intentional in surveying the ground so that we can accomplish that which God wants us to do. If you want to reach your God-given potential this year, stop talking and start planning. If you want to achieve your goals this year, stop talking and start planning. If you want to reach your goals this year, stop talking and start planning. He was intentional in his planning. Touch your neighbor and say, you've got to be intentional. You've got to be intentional. Not only Was he intentional in his planning? He was intentional in his efforts. Verse 17 shows us that after he had done proper planning, he knew what was needed. And so then he went to the people to get them to work. Only after he had surveyed the problem was he able to provide a solution. Only after he had understood the situation was he able to get others on board and get them willing and ready to work. Nehemiah understood that it would take the effort of the people in order to get the work done. Some of us don't have issues with planning. We've got issues with working. Say that again. Some of us don't have issues with planning. We've got issues with working. Let me see if I can help us understand it. You don't have an issue with getting the diet plan together. I got it in my phone. I got the new app for it. And you can even buy all the food and put it in your house. The issue isn't the planning. The issue is the working. The issue isn't planning for the business. I got the business plan, been having on my show for a long time. The issue isn't the planning for some of us. The issue is the working. You know, it's that one friend that has the good idea. You know, they show up at the barbecue. They show up at the birthday party, and the friend comes to you because they know you got a little bit in the bank. And the friend says, "Oh man, I've got the best idea for a business." And you're in the back of your mind thinking, "Okay, you got another idea for a business." And they begin to lay out the plan for you. So what I'm gonna do is it's gonna be a chicken waffle tile rotating joint, but ain't nobody had it like this before. And they lay out the plan. They got the brochures and everything. I know I can make it. I just need a little upfront money. You begin to think to yourself, "I will give it to you if you could keep a job. I would give it to you if I believe you would work. Your issue is not working." Sometimes, brothers and sisters, many of us are good with the plan, but we fail to do the work. We must remember that it's important to plan the work, but it's also important to actually work the plan. It takes intentional effort in order to achieve what God has put in our hearts. Nehemiah says to the people that he has seen how bad things are, and he then motivates them to begin to work. But look at how he does it. He tells them, "Let's rebuild," and then he tells them why it'll be successful. He tells them that the hand of God is upon him and that the king is supporting him. And that's when the people began working. Sometimes we fail to achieve great things because we do it in and of our own ability. We try to do the work in our own might. When we are doing something ambitious for God, we need the hand of God on us. As long as God is with us, then our intentional efforts will produce results. But as long as we try to achieve great things in our own effort, we will fail every time. Nehemiah teaches us, if you want to do something great for God, if you want to live out your godly ambition, you've got to make sure you spend time with God so that the hand of God is on you. We need to work the plan. Then we need God's hand to be with us. Nehemiah wasn't just intentional in planning his efforts. He wasn't just intentional in doing the work. But wait, there is another problem. The text says Sanballat, Tobiah, and Goshen heard about what was going on, and they began to ridicule him. I read verse 10 on purpose because before he began working, the text says they heard about it and they got mad. They didn't do anything. They just heard about it, and they got mad. While he's surveying the land, they don't say nothing. They don't even know about it. But once he begins to work, they began to talk. They began to ridicule him. Nehemiah teaching us, brothers and sisters, once you have intentional planning and once you begin to make some intentional efforts, you will definitely have some intentional haters. Nehemiah shows us that whenever you have intentional planning and efforts, haters will show up. They got mad when they heard about it in verse 10, but they didn't say anything until he started working. Nehemiah says to them, "I'm not worried about your complaining. Oh, you mad? Then just be mad. I've made up in my mind in 2016, brothers and sisters, I'm going to keep haters busy. busy. I'm going to give them something to do. I'm going to make sure they're employed, because as long as I'm doing what God has for me to do, the devil will build up haters. I want you to survey your own life. If somebody ain't mad and complaining about you, it might be because you ain't doing nothing. But as soon as you set your mind to do something and achieve something for God, haters will show up and they will begin to ridicule you. They will begin to talk about you. Nehemiah teaches us something. Brothers and sisters, we got to make up in our mind to let haters hate. Haters are going to always hate, but you've got to give them reason to hate. If my success upsets you, I meant to do it. If my doing what God has me to do makes you mad, I meant to do it. If my achieving my ambition makes you angry, I meant to do it. Some of us have got to make up our minds that we'll make the devil mad on purpose. Devil, you mad? Good. I meant to do it. In 2016, it ought to be your year of intentionality. I'm doing some stuff because I believe God has for me to do it. And as long as I've done the proper planning, as long as I've put in the effort, I believe that the devil will send haters and I won't be mad about it when they show up. I will do it on purpose. I'm out of your way. I'm going to tell you this quick story about somebody who did something on purpose. Humanity was in ruins, just like the walls were in ruins. God surveyed human history and realized that the only solution possible was for him to wrap himself in flesh to come see about us. He did it on purpose. God set the plan in motion in Genesis chapter number 3. He says, I'm going to bring a solution for you. He set the plan in motion. The efforts became carried out when Jesus stepped on the scene. We saw him intentional in the efforts. But then haters began to show up. They began to say stuff like, why are you doing this? Who do you think you are? You can't open blinded eyes. You can't heal people. You can't make the lame to walk. They began to hate on him. The haters were very intentional in their hate, but it didn't stop Jesus, because he had a mandate from God and the hand of God was on him. They hated on him so much that they took him to a cross and they nailed him on the cross, and then he died, and they began to celebrate. Haters will always celebrate when it looks like you are failing. They began to clap and say, oh, we've got him now. My grandmama's church would say it like this. They began to count him out. They would say one on Friday, two on Saturday. But the problem was, early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Somebody would say, Jesus, why did you do it? He would say, I meant to do it. I had to die to achieve the goal that God has for me. And the devil in all hell is mad, but I meant to do it. My brothers and my sisters, in 2016, it ought to be your year when you walk around saying, I meant to do it. Yeah, I built the house because I meant to do it. Yeah, I got the car because I meant to do it. Yeah, I did all that God wanted me to do, and I did it because I meant to do it. And the devil's mad, but I meant to make him mad. Others are mad, but I meant to make them mad. When folk are mad at you at work, look at them and think, yeah, I meant to do it. When your family members even get mad at you, just, I meant, you mad? Stay mad. I'm doing what God would have for me to do. I meant to do it. I'm out of your way. Let's stand, brothers and sisters. This week, don't just have the vision. Don't just have the dream. Do something. Make an effort to actually do the planning. Don't just sit around thinking about it. Put a plan in motion. If you want the house, actually budget for it. If you want the job, get your resume together. If you want to go back to school, actually fill out the application. If you actually want to start a business, put a business plan together. Don't just sit around thinking about it, but you've got to do something. You've got to be intentional. You've got to mean to do it. Let's go before God in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are a God that's intentional. We thank you that throughout the Bible you set plans in motion. Show us what it means to put effort into working a plan. Lord God, we're not naive to the fact that when we're doing what you want us to do, there will be hate. There will be ridicule. People will talk about us and lie on us, and they will do all of that to try to stop us. But in 2016, we're making up our minds that people get mad at us, it's because we meant for them to. People laugh at us and ridicule us for doing what you want us to do, it's because we meant for it to happen. Lord God, we pray right now that you would use us to upset hell.
That you will use us to make the devil angry. That you will use us to achieve your goals and your purposes for our life on earth. We'll be able to say, I meant to do it. I meant to do what God wanted me to do. I meant to do it. I meant to live how God wanted me to live. I meant to do it. Help us this week, Lord God, to live our lives with intentionality. Help us to do certain things on purpose, that we may be able to give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. Now, Lord God, for somebody that's in the sanctuary this morning that may not know you in the pardoning of their sins, I pray now, Lord God, that you would touch their hearts, touch their minds, be intentional about drawing them to you so that they may accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. My brother, my sister, maybe you're here. You walked into Uplift because you saw a flyer, you saw something on Facebook, or solely because somebody invited you to come. You saw the sign outside, and you just pulled on in. Maybe God was intentional in drawing you here. He meant to do it. There's nothing in our lives that come as a surprise to God. He meant to do it. Maybe you're here, you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You've never accepted that God wrapped himself in flesh and died on an old rugged cross to save you. He meant to do it. Maybe you've never accepted it. Today, we invite you to accept salvation that comes through accepting Jesus Christ. Here at Uplift, we make it very easy for you. You don't even have to walk down to give me your hand. All you've got to do is pray a prayer that we pray collectively. We pray it collectively to let you know this. You're not in this journey by yourself. You're in a journey with other brothers and sisters. And when life gets hard for you, when you fall down a little bit, there are other brothers and sisters on the road with you that's willing to lift you up and to make sure that you keep on going. You hear my brother, my sister, you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Or maybe you want to rededicate your life to Christ. You want to say, God, I'm starting 2016 being real with you, being committed to you. If that's you, my brother, my sister, we invite you to pray this collective prayer with us as well. Simply repeat after me. Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I have messed up. I admit that I've fallen short. But I accept that you sent Jesus to die for me. I accept that you sent Jesus to save me. I accept that you raised him on the third day. And because of that, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise, because somebody may have made up their mind to accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Somebody may have rededicated their life to Jesus Christ. And we thank God for that. Amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated in the presence of God.